Welcome to the author commentary for Star Wars From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back. Here we go behind the scenes with contributors to discuss the creative process behind their stories. I'm Alex Davis, a member of the Delray Star Wars editorial team, and before we get going, a word of caution. These conversations may contain story spoilers. You have been warned. Right now, we're talking to Emily Skretzky, author of a story called Ion Control. Emily, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Ion Control. You wrote in this story about Torin Farr, the communications officer in charge of the Hoth Ion Cannon. Could you tell us what it is about this particular character that made you pick her?
Well, so the first thing that stood out to me about her is that she's the only other woman in Empire with a line. And I knew I wanted to tell a woman's story. And it's really just her and Leia. And it's a pretty important line. She's clearly in the center of operations, and she's a critical part of the defense of Echo Base. But I wondered if I could make that line mean something not just to the battle, but to her. And so as I began to develop the idea, I realized that I could make the story about the only other woman who gets to speak in this movie, a story not just about her, but about the network of women surrounding her in the rebellion. So it's Torin, it's her sister Samek, the pilot, her junior officer, who's Corporal Sunspringer, Mon Mothma, who inspired her to join the fight, and of course Leia, and the way that they all fight for each other and kind of ultimately save each other.
Right. And just the one line she does get to say, just ion control fire, is such a impactful line in the, you know, what we see on screen. There's a line in this story about her voice like being the trigger that I find so incredibly cool. It's so absorbing, in fact, that you forget that as opposed to some of our other protagonists in the collection who are, you know, running around and blasting people and flying around through space. Torin spends almost the entire story all in like a bottle episode, one little claustrophobic command center up until the last page where it's a mad dash to get out. Did that present any kind of challenge while writing? How'd you approach that?
So actually, funnily enough, I wrote the story at a time where I felt trapped at my desk in my day job. So I'm a pipeline technical director in visual effects, which means I write the tools for the software that the artists are using, and I support them through any technical issues they're having. And so during busy seasons, that translates to being on call pretty much nonstop. And if anything goes wrong, you're the one who has to fix it. So that kind of like exhaustion and feeling expected to save everyone and feeling like you can't leave, that was so familiar that it didn't really feel like much of a challenge to write a story that's mostly contained in the command center. I mean, the command center was kind of where I was living at the time.
I think a story about being able to make a difference while trapped in one location really resonates with everyone right now.
I'd say.
Yeah. So midway through this story, there's an interesting reveal, which is Torin Farr doesn't really believe the rebels can win, and she doesn't have a sure footing on her own reason for fighting. It's like this creeping dread in the back of her mind. Did that come out of an impression you had of the character overall? How was that choice informed?
So it definitely wasn't something that was informed by Bridget Kahn's performance. Like in the film, she's very steady. She delivers that line. She's just, you know, all business. But I started to think, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if beneath that calm, collected call, she could be fighting to keep it together? Because like in the audience's mind, you know, Hoth is a foregone conclusion. We know where this is going. So I wanted there to be like deeper stakes in this story that determine whether she's going to survive the fall of the base. So it was interesting to me to imagine that beneath that calm demeanor, she's seeing all of her worst fears confirmed and has to face what that means about whether she keeps fighting. And more than being true to the character, it actually just felt true to The Empire Strikes Back to me, which like to my mind, and you know, when I saw it as a kid, it was devastating to me because it is a movie about losing and about kind of what you're gonna do about it. So I wanted to grapple with that in my story.
We see the rebels grappling sort of with this knowledge and dread coming in as well in really cool ways throughout Ion Control. One of them, is betting on, gossiping about, and following the will-they-won't-they exploits of Han Solo and Leia Organa. Roughly how much time would you say is spent at Echo Base doing this?
I'm guessing that it predates Echo Base. Like, I mean, I actually got a chance to peek at some of the other stories too, and it's kind of a common through line that everybody sees it and everybody is watching this thing go back and forth. And it was, I think it's like I mentioned in the story, it's kind of the best entertainment they have right now, because otherwise they're stuck in this really horrible location. So why not take bets on the bickering will they, won't they?
It really brings to the fore just how messy those two kids are. Spilling their tea all over the place. But talking of Leia, a lot of our stories on Hoth sort of touch on this, but Torrens really exemplifies it. There's this razor's edge that every rebel has to deal with between heroism and survival that they all walk. How far is too far? Like, when you go over that edge to the other side and end up sacrificing yourself, was it like ultimately worth it? But for Torren, it's Leia who gets directly involved and snaps her kind of out of the fugue state of heroics. We see Han come in, say it's time to go. Leia kind of yells out to get to the shuttle. Do you think that without her, Torren would have made it out of there?
I think that's kind of the trigger. Like, she's at that time kind of grappling with, like you said, kind of the weight of, it's like the weight of the expectation of heroism. Like, heroism is what's keeping her trapped in that seat and keeping her thinking that the best thing she can do is hold her post for as long as it's possible, and her life is probably going to be forfeit in the process. And so then that's what's within reach in that moment, is that little bit of gossip that she gets because everybody's been talking about this, and she and her junior have gone back and forth. Her junior's much more excited about this than her, probably, and gets taken out early because she's injured. And so she sees this little interaction between Han and Leia where he prevents Leia from getting trapped in that exact same thing. You know, Leia's in the command center too, and she's trying to do everything she can to prevent the downfall of the base, or to get as many people out alive as she can. And Han's the one who comes in and kind of grabs her by the arm and says, come on, that's it. That's like all he says. And so then that's the line that Torrin's able to grab. And that's what convinces her to save herself, because otherwise she probably would have held that post for as long as she was able. But that little bit of barracks gossip she's able to grab onto and say, okay, this is it. I've got my orders to leave. I'm going to get out.
Right. And that takes us to the gorgeous part, like near the ending, where she's finally making her escape, carried not by faith or love or conviction, but by a scrap of barracks gossip, is I think the line. But, you know, from my personal perspective, I think she kind of doth protest too much there. Seconds later, she sees Samoth. Am I pronouncing that right?
I think so. Who's to say?
Sure. Seconds later, she sees her and rescues her, and sort of refers to her as like the next line that she's sort of grabbing onto and using it to pull her through. What drew you to emphasize these heroic accomplishments with such unheroic motivations behind them?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily unheroic, but I think that like heroism can get super overwhelming, and that it is like framed as this lofty ideal that, you know, the Luke Skywalkers of the world are going to run to the danger and fight it with everything they have. But she's, again, like it's what's pinning her in place. It's kind of what's causing her to freeze up because there's too much. She's watching her world crumble around her. She's watching the rebellion get kicked down again and again and again. And so I feel like the ultimate question, like you said, it's about survival. It's about what's it going to take to get her to save herself. And sometimes I think that the big heroism is just too large to reach for. It's too overwhelming. It feels out of reach when you're down in a crumbling command center that's been hit several times, and you're on like the last working station trying to get as many people out alive as possible. The thing that you can reach for is the small thing, the little motivation that's going to get you from here to the next thing.
It's really beautifully drawn in this story. Thank you so much for writing it and for appearing today with us, Emily.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and thank you, the listener, for listening. You can read Ion Control and all the other stories in From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back, available now from all your favorite booksellers in print, ebook, and audio download. Thank you, and may the Force be with you.